Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We get a little bit closer to the trade deadline coming up on November 3rd, and really where this 4-2 team sits. Randy Mueller from the Athletic GM podcast spent some time with the Saints and the Chargers and a former NFL executive. Nice enough to join us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Randy. How are you?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Hi, Randy.
We're doing great. Hey, we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. I love your assessment of the Browns right now, because it's been a weird week here in Cleveland where, you know, they were 4-1, everything was great, and then they get pummeled by the Steelers on Sunday, and so now everyone's kind of taking a big step back on this franchise and what they're seeing on the field. What do you think of the Browns right now?
Well, I think it's probably correct in that we need to pump the brakes a little bit, but here's the good thing about the Browns. They're 4-2, right? They're going to be favored in maybe 6 of their last 10 games. If they just win the games they're favored in, they're going to win 10 games and make the playoffs. So the glass is still half full for me with the Browns. I just think there's some period of adjusting here. The second half of seasons are more, in my opinion, on the coaches to come up with game plans that are a little different and make their adjustments, and I think that's where we're at.
Randy, we've had nothing but turnover here in the front office. And you joined Seattle, you know, in the 80s. You were with Seattle for a long time. There was some continuity, some consistency there. How difficult is it to get a football team going when you're changing things at the top all the time?
Yeah, it's really hard. I think it's a great point. I was lucky. I spent the first 17 years of my career in one spot, and that's unheard of nowadays. Yeah. And then at the end, I've spent 10 years with the Chargers. So two long stints. Stability matters. I definitely think it's a period of adjustment. If you're changing all the time, I think it hurts you, one, in that you can't settle on the criteria of which you're evaluating players in order to bring them on. Your criteria is always changing when you're changing coaches, when you're changing schemes. I think the Steelers are a great example of the anti-end of that, in that they've looked for the same kind of players for the last 20 years. Patriots, same thing. They've looked for the same kind of players for the last 20 years. Now, those are, you know, extreme cases, but that should be what we shoot for, right? Is some continuity, in that we have a Browns philosophy, not necessarily a scheme philosophy based on changes in coaching or changes in the front office. So it's going to take a while. I do think the Browns are headed in the right direction. They seem to have solid decision makers now and a plan for the long haul as well as the short term.
You know, as we get into this and we get a little bit deeper into Kevin Stefanski's career here with the Browns, we were kind of judging, trying to figure out where we are with them. And I think most Browns fans are really happy with the way that they've started this team, other than the fact that they weren't able to pick up those two big wins. What are your thoughts on Kevin Stefanski and the job that he's done here so far with the Browns?
I actually think he's done a really good job. I think the hardest thing when you get to a new place, everybody talks about culture, and that's true, but you need to establish an identity, and I think he's done that. I think even before the season started, we kind of saw where the Browns were going offensively. I think they've done nothing but confirm that. Their running game is where it all starts. I do think the next step is, you know, the key in that, is this sustainable for 16 weeks? Coaches are really good in this league, especially defensive coaches. So they find ways, as the Browns found out last week against the Steelers, they find ways to scheme you and to offer up blueprints. And in a copycat league, that's probably going to come up again here in the next week or two for the Browns. Teams find ways to see that film. They're going to see what Pittsburgh did. They're going to see what it did to Baker. You know, I guess my question for the long haul, probably more than anything with the Browns, is, and again, I like where they're headed, but what are they going to be able to do when they do get behind? When they do get behind the sticks and behind the score and play action passes and kind of the simpler passing game isn't quite as effective. They're going to have to find a way to still move the ball and come back from deficits. Hey, we all get behind, so that's just part of the business.
Randy Mueller joining us. Randy was a front office executive with a bunch of NFL teams, general manager, the guy making trades. Can you take us into what a trade is all about, Randy? I've always wondered because I've never been given a great answer on it. What do you do? You pick up the phone and you call another team and you say, hey, do you want fill in the blank, or what do you want for this guy, or I'd offer you what for this guy? How does, is it that casual, like, you know, like somebody making a fantasy football trade? How does it go down? What's the, you know, what's the structure of a deal?
I think it kind of depends on the personality of the GM, to be honest with you. And the dynamics of trade deadline have changed now with the league pushing it back a couple weeks. It was, for as long as I could remember, the trade deadline was the Tuesday after week six. Well, now it's been stretched out a couple more weeks. So obviously there's more trades now. My complaint with that six-week trade deadline was we didn't even know our own team yet. So there were always very few deals, in my opinion, that got done. I got some advice early on in my career in Seattle when Paul Allen bought the team and his people kind of came to me and said, hey, I want you to be as aggressive as you can, to be in the middle of every deal. We can always say no at the end of it. And so that's kind of what I believed in. And really from that day forward, kind of melded with my thinking anyway. So yes, I picked up the phone. I called a lot of people. I wanted to know about every deal, whether it was good for us or not. I can decide that later. But I know this, you can't make a deal if you're not aware it's going to happen. So I spent a ton of time on the phones. And now there were a lot of teams that I knew when I called weren't interested in making deals. That just wasn't their philosophy. But we used to shoot the breeze about a lot of things. And there's an art to listening and learning without giving up a lot of information. And that's part of this trade deadline thing. And I think more teams now are willing to do it. Week eight, it's easier to have assessed your own team and to know what your weaknesses are going forward. But it takes two to tangle. And it takes two, you know, confident people to make deals, because they're all going to be scrutinized. So that, more than anything, was the holdup a lot of times, you know, 10 years ago, making deals was I always felt like the other side wasn't confident enough to make a deal. And sometimes you just got to pull the trigger and do what's best for your team. That's not always easy.
Randy, let me follow this up, Andy.
Sure.
Can a trade be done in 10 minutes? Does it take days? You ever pick up the phone and call somebody and say, hey, I'll give you a fifth for this guy? Fine, done.
Yeah, no, that's pretty hard. You've got to go through a series of evaluations. You've got to build a little bit of a consensus, at least my feeling is, a consensus on your own end. You're kind of aware of your weaknesses, say week four, week five. So then I would always send our people out to look at film to try to find teams that had an excess at the position that we were looking for. So we spent a lot of time researching it and lining up the fits, which was best for us. And then it was up to me to make a few of those calls and see if we could make a deal. We didn't always get to make the first deal on our list, but maybe the second or third deal made sense. So it's hard to make it in that quick of a time frame. You need time to, like I say, at least I did, to build a consensus. I wasn't looking to be John Wayne and do something that quickly in 10 seconds, you know?
That's great.
Randy, sometimes, though, when you get these trades in the NFL, it always feels like the value becomes a draft pick that seems lower than, from a fan's perspective, yep. It always seems lower. Why is that? And why is the reality of a trade like that compared to what maybe sometimes fans think?
Yeah, I think it's based on supply and demand, to be honest with you. If you've got a commodity and only one team wants it, you're going to have to cut the best deal you can. But if somehow you can get two people involved, there's a good chance the price is going to go up. So I think it's just like in the real world. Supply and demand dictates price, and that's what happens in the NFL more so than people realize. I think also, again, teams have been hesitant to make deals because they've been criticized, and sometimes will hold out for the perfect deal. You're not going to make a deal if you're holding out for the perfect deal. So you've got to make a deal that's good for both sides.
Baker Mayfield is in his third year, Randy, and decision is coming down the road here for the Browns. Do you want to extend him? Do you want to pick up his fifth-year option? What goes into that, and what would you do if you were the Browns in this situation based on what you've seen from Baker on the field in this offense?
Well, I think it comes down to really these next 10 weeks are giant for Baker Mayfield. Regardless of anything else, Kevin has to really decide if this is the guy we want going forward. does he do enough in our system that dictates a fifth year? Now, he may pick up the fifth year. They may pick up the fifth year without knowing all the answers that they want to know because they don't have any other options. Sometimes that's an arranged marriage as well. So, you know, who knows? I think these next 10 weeks will go a long ways toward deciding it. And, again, it's what kind of offense, what kind of scheme does Kevin want to run going forward, and how much of that is Baker capable of really executing?
Sorry about that. Look, you know, if you're sitting in Andrew Berry's office right now and you're still trying to figure out how I can make a play for someone here or there, how does he do it? I mean, I just, especially when you're trying to, you know, build that relationship as a GM with other GMs and trying to be able to bring the right players in, what's it like to sit in that seat? I know you said that, you know, you don't want to make a quick one, but I mean, there's a lot goes into it that I think fans don't understand when they're trying to get to that move around trade deadline too.
Yeah. You spent hours talking about it. You spent hours with opinions I always thought, let's just gather as much info as we can. And really inside the building, we'd have the same conversations that you and I are having. Like I kind of call them water cooler conversations. Some of the craziest ideas that we talked about, we heard from the media or from someplace on the outside, but I was okay with it because I want an idea brought to the table that doesn't get discussion tells me that you haven't done enough research to figure it out. Somebody thought this was a good idea, so let's at least map it out and put the case test to it and see if it works out. So I think there's a lot of more general discussions that happen on the inside that people don't understand. There's no, you know, the amount of knowledge in an NFL building is no different than the knowledge on the street. I mean, the same conversations happen. They just end up getting to a higher level, and guys on the inside get to pull the trigger. So I think you got to discuss it all ad nauseum, and that makes for a better consensus building process.
Randy, Andy asked you a bit ago about draft choices and how oftentimes it seems like, you know, if guys are getting traded for low round draft choices and it's sounds like a no brainer. And why can't you do that all the time? And when you were running football teams, when did you think was the right time to bring in a veteran who might not be, you know, like a Pro Bowl caliber guy, but a veteran who you knew was going to be on the field and contributing for you? And at what cost?
Right. Well, I think you got to assess your team. And if you are a playoff team, 4-2, 3-3, I always used to say if we're at 500 on Thanksgiving, we got a chance, then you're going to know where you need where you have a weakness to fill. So that's the first thing is you're going to have to identify your own team. And sometimes I would even get an assessment from an independent eye, somebody outside of our organization, just to say, hey, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? Again, I like to gather information. And then once you figure out your own team, you can decide if it's worth it to, you know, give a pick for something that's going to help us short term but might weaken us a little bit long term. I think it just depends on where you're at with your own team and where you are developing your own team.
It's interesting.
Hey, Randy, thank you so much for your time. We'd love to have you back on, too, again, especially after we kind of see what happens on November 3rd. And really, really appreciate it and I'm looking forward to listening to your GM podcast through The Athletic. Thanks, Randy.
Anytime. Good enough, guys.
Thank you, Randy.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
Randy Mueller, nice enough to join us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.